because we're friends, I feel a certain way about you. So like the only other things that you could really use to like make bigger leaps would have to be logos then. Because you can't, I mean, you could in the middle of a conversation be like, but because we're friends, and I guess that could work for like, like me. Exactly. Wow, but because we're hello, 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 children of the internet. You're listening to the Neon Black Podcast, where we talk about nerd culture, philosophy, and the philosophy of nerd culture, and anything else that fits the mood. I'm your first host, Remy, first son of Van Hohenheim and Designer Supreme. But let me introduce you to our second host.
Hey, yo, it's E from the A, wielder of the pen and the sword, and introducer of our third host.
It's your boy, Kevin, a.k.a. Kevlar, a.k.a. the Hood Metal Alchemist.
Ooh.
And lastly, I want to pass it off to my boy.
Signing on through Spectrum's Neon is the Cloudborn Hero, a.k.a. But most people call me Mikey. Let's turn on the lights.
Honestly, I think open-mindedness would go under logos. Because I thought something that was interesting is I honestly believe that all three of the, not arguments, but all three of these styles are subject to change because pathos kind of changes with whatever emotion someone is feeling in the current moment or what external source gives a person emotion, whereas credibility can crumble with how someone's status is viewed. So you could be a high status person and like talking out of your ass, but you would come off as more credible than, in today's society, like a doctor or, you know, some people are more willing to listen to Trump's advice on how to handle the coronavirus rather than like, Dr. Fauci, who's been working as an epidemiologist most of his living life, just because of his status in the mainstream and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then logos is also subject to change in the sense that anytime new knowledge is discovered, old knowledge kind of crumbles. Like if you think about people thought that the world being flat was logical because at that time the tools that they had as humans and the limits that were on human understanding allowed them to see it that way. But with the incorporation of like new knowledge when it comes to mathematics and stuff like that, we're able to tell that, hey, planets are actually round. And that's a reason why, you know, the sun acts the way it does around the globe, as well as like, I think recently people were discounting something that Einstein said about gravitational waves and they believe that it was, fake and stuff like that. But I think they recently went back over his model and realized that he was actually correct.
Einstein, oh my God.
Yeah. So when it comes to logic is always subject to change with new mindsets as well as new information. So I think they're all pretty malleable. But going back to your question, Mikey, I would honestly put the open mindedness under logic.
Okay.
So I would say that I'm a pretty open minded person, and I noticed that a lot of the times when it comes to when I see other people online also being open minded, it usually comes with understanding that most of the information that has been spoon-fed to us is either traditional, and you learn this in like the scientific field a lot, people create models based on how they think the world works, but once people's thinking changes, those models are subject to change as well. So like if you talk about shit like planets being different things, or people figuring out that maybe We can have life on Mars because there's water or whatever that we just found out with new knowledge, or even the stuff that people are, you know, talking about when it comes to gender and sexuality and how that's subject to change too. So I think that open-mindedness comes from logos more so than pathos.
Okay. I think it's cool that open-mindedness is under logic, or we came to that conclusion, because I feel like in our friend group, I think that most of us are majority. I don't know if I'm getting it right. Majority? I don't know. I can't talk. I feel like most of us are logical, mostly. So, and that being said, it's just kind of like, I've always been an open-minded kind of person. Like, I've always liked that trait. I never understood a lot of hate in the world. So now it's just cool. Like, you know, I realize that I surround myself with that kind of people or stuff like that. So glad we came to that conclusion.
It's an interesting thought that most of us are not. I feel like if I were to identify with one of the three, it'd be pathos for me personally.
Really?
Because I think it, like, at least for me, pathos is where I get my motivation. I don't think logos gives me that.
I feel like motivation.
Yeah.
I feel like motivation is always under pathos, because I get my motivation from pathos too. But
right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I guess for the something that would come down to is your defining trait motivate? Like, are you, is motivation a defining trait of yours? Because then that's where you pull the pathos from. Otherwise, it's just a part of you. Mm-hmm. That's just where you get it from, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a defining, like, it's literally the motivation I get to do a majority of the things I do every day. Like, logos is something that I rely on when I'm trying to enlighten myself in a conversation and, you know, learn something from other people or reinforce a belief that I may have. It's just a tool that gets used in those situations. But pathos is something that, like, it gets me out of bed. Like, I could tomorrow I could quit my job, bro. Like, you know, if I'm not, like, enjoying it, but I realize that the motivation I get from realizing that I need it to accomplish certain things in life, and even the pathos to continue, you know, spending 2 hours every day on writing when it takes, you know, forever, fucking ever to make progress on that, the pathos that it takes to work out because I want, you know, the emotional satisfaction of the accomplishment, you know, or maintaining whatever accomplishments I've already made. Like, that's what motivates 90% of my actions.
All right. I mean, it sounds like it checks out.
Never guessed that, but all right.
Yeah, I guess I don't really see, like, how you'd get that kind of, those same kind of results or similar results from the other two necessarily. Because, I mean, you could logically say, yeah, if I work out, you're healthier. You'll probably live longer, and there's nothing I can draw from, like, working out or, like, doing a passion passion project literally has passion in the name, but, like, some kind of side project or something that wouldn't involve at least a pretty significant level of pathos. Like, I really don't see, like, to me, that's what drives most humans to do what they're doing.
I mean, I think that's how you get the people, like, people who are money hungry. Like, that's kind of how you get the, like, you want money, but why? To make more money, but why? Like, because, like, money in and of itself is just a means to an end. So if you're just doing it for the means, I feel like at that point, you're doing it because money can be used for anything. So you want this thing that's so flexible. Like, you don't care about, like, some people would, you know, if someone were to pay for all their expenses, as long as they got to do their passion, they'd be fine. So if you're what type of person to be doing a job or doing anything just for the money, I feel like that's where you get way too, almost too much logos. Like,
do you think that's logos though?
In the way that, like, because what do you need a job for? To get something else. Mm-hmm. For the money, right? So what do you need the money for? To do other things. So logically speaking, the best thing to do in life is to get a job, get a lot of money, because then it lets you do a bunch of other things. So that way it doesn't matter what your passion is, because theoretically, sticking to this, you know, with this through line for now, if you had zero passions, you didn't care about anything, what are you going to do in life? You'd be probably be doing multiple things, because nothing, no specific thing would keep you there. So if you're going to be doing multiple things, you can't bank on your credibility. Like, if you're an accountant somewhere, that's not going to help you in the art field. So, but you can probably pay for an art teacher or things like that. So the money will let you do anything you want. So logically, it's the best thing to get you anything you want. So I feel like that's kind of where you run into, like, so it's not about a passion project. It's about how do I do X, Y, and Z. And when you start talking about how do I do something or isn't it, figuring something out.
You said it's not about the passion project, but the scenario you just said, it is like if you're an accountant and you're trying to using that money to do like art stuff, then it is ultimately at the core of it about the art, isn't it?
If the art was the goal. Right. I was saying like step one is art thing. Oh, that didn't work out. Let's try cooking. That didn't work out. Let's try building houses. That didn't work out. Like, mm-hmm. like I was saying, if you didn't have any passions, which I think would be insane for someone, but if you didn't have any passions, the logical thing, or if you didn't know what your passion was,
right,
the logical thing to do would be to get a job that way, a good paying job that we could figure it out later.
What if I said like, because we've kind of been focusing on the positive, more motivational emotions, but what if someone has a job like that out of fear, like they want security, which is another thing about pathos, right? So like, what if they're more into the like working a job they don't like because they believe that leaving it will make them feel right, that word pathos, feel worse, right? Because they won't be secure financially.
I mean, I feel like if that were the case, that would also tie into their logical side too, the logo side. Because I mean, they don't feel that way, but logically speaking, if they haven't done anything to further their passion, then it's smarter for them to stay at that job. Like, I feel like they both go hand in hand. Like,
there's definitely, yeah,
right,
a lot of overlap, right, for sure.
Because like what I was leaning towards was an archetype of a person, like, and I guess you could just flip the archetype, like, the what's the underlying motivation behind it. But for me, I was more thinking like, I don't use Jeff Bezos specifically, but like, when your whole thing is about just making money, like, that's when I feel like it stops being about fear. It's more about the money itself. And I can't think of a reason to make money for the sake of making money other than its ability to get you everything else.
But see, that's the thing, right? Why would you be getting the money if you didn't feel like it gives you something? Like, if you're not gaining something from it, why would you keep chasing?
I guess you can make the argument that like getting money makes him feel good. Mm-hmm. You can make that argument.
That's why, right. I feel like at the core of everything, pathos is like, yeah, a motivator.
I mean, like you said, that's what started a lot of things. So, I mean, you're not wrong. But I don't know. I just like, personally, like, I mean, we hang out a lot, Ian. I mean, we're close and all that stuff, but like, we talk more than we like hang out. When we hang out, we conversate more. So I don't really see a lot of the passion that you put into certain projects. Like, I don't see you work. I never see you work out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you do this stuff, but like, I don't. So it's like, yeah, when I made that, you know, assumption about the crew and stuff like that, it's just like, huh, okay.
Yeah. I feel that. I think, I guess my comments were more about like just humans in general, like humanity as a, you know, as a concept. I just feel like almost no matter who you pick, it would come down to pathos at some point. But yeah, definitely a lot of the conversations we have are fueled by logos, which I think is, well, yeah. So mostly by logos, right? Logos is like the big engine that helps us all try to get to common ground and whatever we were discussing. But even like, I feel like a lot of the more passionate like debates that we've had like on podcasts or unrecorded have been fueled by a sense of like pathos, whether it's like we're all trying to kind of figure out together a kind of answer that works for all of us, or, well, I mean, that's usually it for me. Like, I'm either trying to see a new point of view or be sure that my point of view isn't fucked up in some way. Right. So I know I have like kind of
basically you're saying, I mean, pathos is, like, even though other things may fuel a certain concept or conversation or thing, pathos is always going to be there in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I guess I also, because pathos is, all three of these are technically like appeals, right? So I guess pathos would specifically be like if we were talking and I was trying to convince you of something and then I was trying to appeal to your emotions. So Yeah, just so we don't lose like the actual definitions of the three, because I think they're all three of them are rhetoric devices. So they're right. It's like if one person is trying to convince another person or several people of something, like these are the three broad approaches they would use. So I think you're right, actually, in what you said about like most of us or in our friend group, most of our conversations come down to logos because we're trying to find the answer, whatever, like an answer or a good answer or something. So I think logos is usually the best way to come down for that. So I think you were right.
But I mean,
you said that.
I think the other part about that though is the fact that because we are friends, the entire conversation is going to be dripped in pathos. Like you're not going to get rid of that. Like, so I think there's a certain level of like, because we're already friends, the conversation is going to and we're trying to convince each other of things. Like, I don't know, like we're already friends. I mean, I guess we become deeper friends in the middle of the conversation, but I feel like that's not already a given, but like, because we're already heading that way and I'm trying to convince you of something, trying to get us farther in that direction isn't really going to make any big strides. So leaning more logical or even possibly ethos. And I guess ethos doesn't really work in that situation either because we're already friends. You already respect me to some degree.
Some niggas be lying though. Hey.
I mean, right? But then are you friends with that person though? Right? Nah. Or are they an acquaintance? Or are they a coworker? Right? So because once you're friends, ethos already kind of gets knocked out because we're already like already trust you as is. So unless you're shady, in which case we're not friends, so that kind of gets knocked to the wayside. And because we're friends, I feel a certain way about you. So like the only other things that you could really use to, like make bigger leaps would have to be logos then, because you can't, I mean, you could in the middle of a conversation be like, but because we're friends, and I guess that could work. So like, exactly. Wow, but because we're right. So like,
who's mad?
Because we're, I already, you're telling me something that I already know. Like the moment you try to appeal to someone's emotions when you're already friends, it's already a given. So like, it's not moving the needle one way or the other. So I feel like that's kind of why our conversations have to kind of lean logos.
Well, so like an example that I thought about with that actually was a recent, like when we were talking about the cyberpunk situation, and Mikey was saying that he felt like the company, like the both the developers and the whatever, the executive people could have done it better. And I think technically, like that was his opinion on the situation. And we all know pretty much the same information about it. So that none of us knows more than the other on that, like none of us is more credible than the other. So I don't think he was wrong to say that, but at least my response to it was I did try to appeal a bit to like pathos, to the emotion, because I said that that wasn't like fair to the developers, right? But again, none of us know what happened with the cyberpunk. We don't know the details of it. So me saying that wasn't me saying like logically, like, you know, it's not like some kind of law of reality that developers don't have a say in, you know, the release of the product, right? So I can't use logos as much. I'm literally just like going off of, because I don't believe that the developers would have blamed, and he thought that they might have some blame and not.
Yeah, and I remember you said like that. You were like people that think like you make me want to not like quit my job as a developer. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, so there was definitely a lot of like, yeah, I think you can still appeal to emotions as friends. It just kind of depends on what you're talking about,
right? Yeah, not that it's impossible, but that it's less likely, I guess. Because unless, I guess it depends on the comment. Yeah, I guess it does depend on the conversation, because it depends on if you're dealing with something outside of your specific realm or something, like because I think when we talk about like comic books and things, we don't tend to like lean towards that stuff because it's already something we already care about. Whereas if it's like something more tangential, I feel like that's when it can have a bigger like say in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it could appeal to pathos anytime like someone's belief system is in conflict. Like for example, when we were talking about what a hero is or what it means to be a hero, I think for like sometimes. I think when we've had that conversation, our different definitions of what it means to be a hero and like what matters to different people requires, I think, more pathos than logos usually to talk about. Because what it means to be a hero to one person, to the next person, differs very much on what they believe to be benevolent and also what they believe to be helpful. And I think sometimes when you talk about something that subjective, that's when you can have those clash of kind of emotions, where you kind of have to appeal to someone's emotion rather than being like, logically, you know, a better hero would be the one who saves the most people. Mm-hmm. Where some person would be like, I think, you know, what makes a good hero is someone who inspires the most people or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Or it would be someone who never lets anyone die, like ever, or something like that. So, you know, with varying subjective opinions, I think that's when usually for me, I see people having to appeal to other people's pathos.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree. Actually, that made me remember a conversation me and Mikey were having about, I don't remember if it was related to heroes specifically, but it was a conversation about whether it was, I think I had asked if it was inherently wrong to kill, like for one person to take another person's life. And it was like, I think, because I could recognize that Mikey was looking at it like from a pathos standpoint, like it just wasn't, like he strongly believed that right. It was not right. And I agreed with that, but I couldn't think like from a logo standpoint, why, like I couldn't justify it from a logical standpoint, like why it is inherently wrong to kill. So that's like an example of one conversation we've had that.
Right.
That, yeah.
And like, and even specific, because I remember that conversation too. I remember sitting back in the conversation like, this is real interesting. And like, when you frame it like that, I think that's usually, because I remember we even had, we had that, I think we did a topic about arguments or something. I don't remember what the topic was, but it was basically like, whenever you're in a debate or something, you need to understand what you're arguing or what you're debating. And this is me speaking now, not the video, whatever we were talking about. 9 times out of 10, when an argument is or a debate is breaking down, it's because somebody lost the thread at some point. They don't remember what they were on or what they were arguing about, or it just wasn't established at the beginning. So it seems like they're arguing about the same thing, and then 5 minutes later, they're arguing about two completely different things. And with the no killing one, it was very much like, I feel like you were arguing more on like both logos, pathos, and maybe even ethos. Should you kill someone? And Mikey was leaning way more heavily on the pathos of it all, of like, no, you shouldn't, like it's morally wrong. But like, I feel like you'd already be like, well, yeah, it's morally wrong, and then what? Whereas Mikey was like, well, it doesn't need, there's no more of the conversation because it's now morally wrong, so done, that's the end of the conversation.
It was like, I was saying that I don't believe that you are, like, I don't believe that there is such thing as like a true hero, because I feel like a hero isn't supposed to kill. And then I was like, so I'm not saying, because my whole thing about it was, I'm not saying that if you kill, you're automatically just a bad person. You know what I'm saying? I just, the definition of a hero is somebody who doesn't kill. And I even said that, you know, I would kill. Like, if it push came to shove and I needed to defend myself, I would do it. It wasn't against, like, it being morally wrong or morally bad. I just thought that it's not in a human's right to kill another human. We don't have that right. Like, we shouldn't.
Right.
I know it's
right, but that's a soul like only in the pathos column. Because you get into the other two columns, I feel like it's all bets are off. Like logos is the one where like killing people just goes rampant. Like, go for it. This and the other, almost every time, because you can then break down mathematically. Like, well, if I let this person live, two more people die. That's one life versus two, done. And that's the end of the conversation, right? So like logos, if you're only in that column, then you just kill people whenever necessary. But pathos is like the only one where you can never do it, which is
kind of fucked up. Because if you kill somebody, then it's just kind of like, you kill once, you can kill again. I don't know if I can trust. That's like, that's the whole thing about Batman. You know, his whole thing about like, if Superman were to kill, he's not sure if this nigga would be able to trust him again, because he's like, bro, you do this once,
right,
I'll take you down.
But see, there you said the magic word, which is trust. That's ethos.
That's ethics. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Only when you're in just the logos column, and that's alone, when that's the only thing you're considering, mm-hmm. you kill people whenever necessary. which is why the other two arguments can start getting wishy-washy and whatnot. You can't. Pathos is, I think Logos is the one where you kill people no matter what. It doesn't really matter. Pathos is the one where you never kill anyone. Ethos gives you the wiggle room of who knows, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
I wouldn't.
Which is why
I wouldn't like, and this just might be the like me being conservative about it, but I wouldn't want to say that one of the three approaches is always going to get you to the same kind of answer every time. Like true. I could see pathways for Logos where you would be like, no, it doesn't, like logically, it doesn't make sense to kill this person.
Right. That is fair. Yes. Yeah, but and even then I feel like that's more of a, and again, but that's because I think Logos is the one, because we talked about it earlier about being open-minded, that's one of the most options I feel like more often than not. So that's where I feel like Logos is the only one where you can get wishy-washy with it. Mm-hmm. because you can count like the ramifications and go, was that good or was that bad, and then you know you kind of weigh the options from there. Mm-hmm. But, so like that's the only where I feel like maybe not, but like I feel like Pathos is the one for sure. You can't go around killing people because we've decided that's morally wrong. So this is a total generational.
Well, now Remy, now so yeah, going back to your demon example, right? say the kid, you know, saying your kid is a demon or possessed by a demon, half demon, whatever, and then they kill your wife. So what's up? Like Pathos is gonna make you want to kill your kid, Ike. Or it, no. It has the potential to. I'll say that.
And
I
always say it. Yes. Everyone, murder is crimes of passion, bro.
Yeah.
Right, but I guess I mean, but see, no, that's 50. I guess it could be 50-50, but I feel like you...
Depends how much you love your kid.
Exactly. Yeah. And it depends on how long has the kid been around. Like, there are a lot of factors in there, because, like...
Yeah.
And also, like, was the wife, like, no matter what, don't kill him? Because then love for the wife is going to, like, keep the kid alive.
Potentially. But, I mean, your right. anger at her death could also, you know... Yeah, a lot of factors.
Yeah, but then just because it could lead to the death doesn't make it, because on the other side of the death you could be like, I never should have done that, and that's back on the pathos, right? So before it happened you said you shouldn't kill them. After it happened you said you shouldn't kill them. Like that's two out of three situations or times where you would have been like, don't kill the kid.
I don't think it. I honestly, like, you might regret it after, but that's not really the point. Is that the pathos is what led you to do it. Like the after doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess because pathos told you to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The deed has been done. Can't fix the past.
Nope. Yeah, they're all three definitely. Yeah. I don't know. For me, I almost feel like let me look up Ethos again. I feel like Ethos. I've never really been that into appeals to authority. Like, you know, I
trust and credibility. I didn't really look at authority. I don't really.
It's the same thing, because the the trust thing is like. I mean, it's like if you're a fan of someone, like when I brought up the Donald Glover example, right. You know, like.
But he doesn't have authority over me, I guess. I don't know.
It's a different kind of authority. Right. Is like an interesting word for it, because it's not like he's your boss or something. But
right.
Yeah, it's like.
But like in the same way that your boss can get you to do something, he could get you to do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like if he was like, hey, go click this link to, you know, promote my, so you'd retweet the tweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's like the. The box that you're in is different, but it is a form of authority.
Yeah. But yeah, I was saying I don't appeals to authority. Never. I guess it's the least. I try to listen to like everyone. Like I know there's people who legitimately, like, if kids are talking, they just want the kid to shut up because it's like you're not old enough to know any better. Like they don't even want a kid to participate in like a conversation, certain conversations, because they just don't think that. They assume that the kid's not going to know enough to have anything worthy to contribute, and I've never been, I've never been a believer in that. So I think Ethos for me is the one that I would put less stock in. I think it would be the, if I was a Pokemon, I'd be most resistant to Ethos.
yeah. I mean, yeah. No, I think I'm pretty sure I'm the same way, because like, because a lot of that has to do with. That's power or whatever that you got from something else, and it's like
that's a good way to put it. I wish I had shown all this clip beforehand, but it was a clip of I think Maya Angelou, or so I think it was her, but basically an elderly, like, very respected Black woman, and she was answering a question on TV. So this young, I think, teenage girl came up to ask her a question. So she was like, I think she said Maya, and then she started asking the question, and then Maya interrupted, and she was like, it's actually Miss Angelou, because, you know, I've seen things, I've been through things. You don't have the right to call me by my first name because, you know, I've been through more life than you. And, you know, then there was a lot of debate in like the, it was an Instagram vid. So there was a lot of debates in the comments about whether Maya was right to do that or not. And the way I just presented it is like, not even like, if you saw the video, she literally went on like a tangent. Like it was longer than like 30 seconds. Like she went on a whole tangent about why the teenage girl shouldn't have like used her first name. And to me, I mean, it all stemmed from Maya believing that she had the reputation and authority to be able, you know, to not be called by her first name by this girl. And I'm just like, if you have a preference to be called Miss Angelo, I can respect that. That's one thing. But you're saying that you've earned it just based off, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I wasn't there for none of that. I don't know the circumstances of all of that stuff. You're new to me. Yeah. I'm gonna call you what I want, unless I respect you as a person on your merit. Because, you know, there's like a basic amount of decency that I like to give like every human being, regardless, you know, from a blank slate perspective. But past that, bro, like, don't come up to me talking about you've earned this and that, bro. You just talking to me.
You earned that from them. You didn't earn that from me.
Right.
Like I don't know what I don't know. I don't know. So I don't care. I shouldn't care because I don't know.
To be honest,
there's nothing to persuade me one way or the other because I have nothing as of right now.
Right.
So I'm gonna start with however I start. Now, if you want to inform me of things, and then ask, can you call me that? And that's your basis for credibility. Then all right, we can talk about it. That's different.
All right.
But yeah, you can't just like. Yeah, because again, reputation and credit, but that comes from other people. It's other people giving you something, but like,
right
now, what does that mean to me?
I would be remiss to say that obviously there are some, like, I'm more likely to listen to my cardiologist, you know what I'm saying, than a nigga off the street if they say, yeah, your heart rhythm sound kind of irregular, you know what I'm saying? That is an appeal to authority that I recognize.
Right.
That's a
but the thing there is that you respect what it takes to become a doctor, and they've told you they're a doctor, right?
Mm.
So it's not like Maya Angelou, like,
right, that's
came out and was different, yeah. Exactly, right? She didn't come out or like she didn't have like, you know, a lab coat on talking about I'm Maya Angelou, this is what I've been through. So now only addressing me as such and such. That's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very true. Like, yeah. Cause most people are aware, or at least vaguely aware enough that a doctor needs a certain amount of training to even get to their level. So you respect that because you're familiar with it. Yeah. If someone comes up to me and it's like, man, you call me Sir Duncan. I'm like, yo, you're not a knight, bro. Come on, bro. Get that shit out of here. I mean, I might call you Sir Duncan, but don't tell me it's because you earned it. Just, you know, just be like, yeah, I like that name. So if you could please call me that, I'll be like, yeah, you know what? That's cool. Call me Master Duncan.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You know, then we get into a fight. It's a whole thing, but we good. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing, human communication.
Yeah, it needs to be more of it. God damn it.
Yeah, like effective communication, because there's a lot of pathos going around, and it's as poisonous. It's poisonous in large amounts.
Right. Yeah. Shame these days, but yeah, you know, hopefully it'll get better. You know, all the feelings and whatnot.
It won't. I mean, I guess it depends what we mean by better, but I mean.
I think it's going to get better only in the way that today people are more in tune with their emotions. And like, that's the thing. I think that can be okay. Mm. And the moment you've accepted and acknowledged those emotions, you can then get them under control. You know what I mean? Like, that's the decade long-term version. I could see it getting better.
Here's my thing. It's like, yeah, I believe things will get better. Things always do get better, but with getting better, there is always going to be something that's worse.
Right.
It's like, I don't
you know what. Yeah, I could believe that, because I feel like even the what a lot of people call social justice warriors today, technically social justice warriors are I don't want to say nothing inflammatory, but you could kind of see some of them as extremists for doing like the right thing. Like, they're ultimately trying to be very inclusive and accepting of all peoples. Some of the methods of a certain section, not all of them, but a certain section of them, can be kind of wild with it. They can maybe ruin or derail some intellectual properties. They can mess up some franchises here and there. But their intentions, you know, the core of the intentions are good. So that's an example of good taken maybe a little too far. You know what I'm saying? But it comes from
you are so transparent, homie. Anybody who knows you know exactly who you were swinging at.
But I agree with what, you know, Mike, you saying that, you know, sometimes even in the event of people trying to make things better, things can get worse. I think humanity just got to find that sweet spot. It's gonna take a while, but
take a long while.
I mean, damn, you gonna end it on that sad note? Goddamn! All right, no, first
round, cool. Bro. We got it.
You know what I'm saying? We left it all the way. Keep it in your heart.
Yeah. Let's end it with some pathos. This is our first, I think, 2021 recording.
Oh yeah, New Year.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me read this this message that I sent out to a group on New Year's. Not the whole message because not all of it's relevant, but just a message. It's pretty short. All right.
Oh my god.
Sorry, headphone users.
So the message essentially it says, I don't know everyone's 2020 story, but if you're reading this, then two things have to be true. Number one, you're blessed, and number two, you've been a blessing. And then it goes into some of the blessings that I saw in this particular group chat over time, but just, you know, thinking about those two things, that you are blessed and that you've been a blessing, and that the fact that you've made it to the end of 2020 is also like a huge thing that you shouldn't underestimate. And then I just ended off with saying, I hope 2021 treats everyone as well as Elizabeth, that's one of the girls in the group, me, treats her garden. But whatever happened, please remember this quote from a very sad but ultimately hopeful movie that I watched earlier this year. And the quote just says, winter is cold so that we may feel the warmth of those around us. Though we may not be with you right now, I pray you'll feel our warmth too. And that's from a movie called Silence, Korean movie. Very nice.
That was fun.
That is an example of, in this group chat a lot, actually, I use a lot of pathos messages. And I can tell.
Distance.
What's that?
It's good to have pathos with distance.
Yeah. That's facts. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. But yeah, just believe that pathos will get you through 2020, 2021, and beyond, even if logos and ethos maybe won't.
Yes, sir. There are a lot of ways to appeal to the mind, even your own. Passion is an incredible motivator. We could all use some motivation in these dark times. Especially since 2021 is starting to look like 2020 part 2. But don't worry, we're going to get through it all in one piece. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, we'd appreciate it if you followed us on Twitter at The Neon Black Pod and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Till next time, remember, the most important color in the box is neon black.